So if you are 40 or older, you will probably remember that one of the most popular sitcoms of the 1990s was The Seinfeld Show. In its very final episode, which aired in 1998, the main characters, Jerry, George, Elaine, and Kramer, are given a one-year sentence because they did not help someone who had been robbed. What happens is this. They find themselves in a place called Lakeland, Massachusetts, that there had been a problem with their plane, and so they couldn't get back to New York. They were delayed. And so Jerry says, let's go and look at the town. And they are looking around, and they notice right in front of them a carjacking happening. And Kramer takes a camcorder. If you do not know what that is, ask your parents, and they will tell you. He takes the camcorder, and he videos the carjacking taking place. These are New Yorkers of a certain kind. And if you're at all familiar with the Seinfeld show, you'll remember that for 9 seasons, they like to make fun of people, have a laugh at another person's expense. And so here they are on this day. The guy gets away with the car, and the victim is left there. And afterwards, Jerry says to his friends, let's go get something to eat. But at that moment, a Lakeland police officer shows up. And he says, hold it right there. And Jerry says, what? And the officer says, you are under arrest. Under arrest? What for? And the officer says, Article 223-7 of the Lakeland County Penal Code. And Elaine says, but we didn't do anything. And the officer says, that's right, you didn't do anything. The law requires that you help or assist anyone in danger as long as it's reasonable to do so. And George says, I never heard of that. And the officer says, it's new. It's called the Good Samaritan Law. Let's go. This is how the series ends, with Jerry and friends under arrest. One commentator said many of the fans hated the way the series ended. But this commentator made the astute observation. There was a redeeming quality to that last episode. For 9 years, the Seinfeld characters used, ridiculed, and made fun of everyone they met. The four of them were, well, they were like the priest and the Levite in the story of the Good Samaritan. Modern day priests, Levites. For you see, we like to climb the ladder of success, and FedEx gives you the world on time. This is the attitude of many modern people. Stopping to help someone crimps our style and requires too much of our time. What these four friends had suppressed for 9 years is their conscience, the voice within. One of my heroes is John Henry Newman. John Henry Newman, who had been one of the most influential Anglicans of his generation, teaching at Oxford, being the priest, the Anglican priest of a church in Oxford that drew hundreds of people to hear his homilies. But at midlife, he converted to Roman Catholicism. And I'm glad to say that he's going to be canonized soon, and we're going to have a party here when that happens. But Newman had a wonderful way to talk about the conscience. He called it the Aboriginal Vicar of Christ. Isn't that a great phrase? The Aboriginal Vicar of Christ. What is a vicar? It's a representative. And what Newman said is that every man, every woman has a voice within, that native voice, that voice that is intrinsic to who they are. And this is the Aboriginal Vicar of Christ. And what Newman says is the following, that the conscience is to learn to listen to what is called the moral law. Now, another man, also influential, was C.S. Lewis, also taught at Oxford. And in perhaps one of the greatest books that explains basic Christianity, called Mere Christianity, Lewis talks about the moral law, but he refers to it as the law of human nature. And listen to what C.S. Lewis says about the law of human nature. Human beings, he writes, all over the earth have this curious idea that they ought to behave in a certain way. And they can't get rid of it. Secondly, they know that they do not act in the way that they should. They know that the law of human nature is there, and they break it. Now listen to what he says. These two facts, knowing the right thing to do and we don't do it, Lewis says, this is the foundation to all clear thinking about ourselves and the universe we live in. Wow. To be able to listen to the conscience, to the Aboriginal vicar of Christ, says Lewis, is the foundation of all clear thinking about ourselves and the universe we live in. It's been said that if you break the law of human nature, it breaks you. If you break the law of human nature, it breaks you. And that's what we see with Jerry, Elaine, Kramer, and George. Over the course of 9 seasons, they were so dead to their conscience that they were careless and self-serving. Now, Lewis says something else about this law of human nature. Unlike other laws, the law of gravity, the laws of biology, when it comes to the law of human nature, we can choose whether or not to ignore it. Listen to how he puts it. Each person, at every moment, is subjected to several different sets of law, but there is only one law that he or she is free to disobey. As a body, a person is subjected to gravitation and cannot disobey it. If you leave a person unsupported in midair, he or she has no choice about falling. He has no more choice than a stone. As an organism, he or she is subjected to various biological laws which he cannot disobey any more than an animal can. That is, he cannot disobey these laws which he shares with other things. So part of the biological law is we're getting older. And sooner or later, we're going to die. We can't change that. We don't have a choice, ultimately, about that. But listen to what Lewis says about human nature. When it comes to the law that is particular to our human nature, the law that people do not share with animals or vegetables or inorganic things, this is the one law that he or she can choose to disobey. So here's the question that Lewis asks. Where does this law come from? And why is this law universal? Think about it. There is a universality to it. And even the Seinfeld show knows this. It is this moral law that is an objective law. The law that the Lakeland County Penal Code understood, and therefore the writers of Seinfeld's final episode. Lewis, who wrote Mere Christianity in the 40s and the 50s, stands in a very, very long tradition of philosophers, of theologians, who say that this law, this moral law, this human law, this law of the conscience is personal, because it comes from an intelligent lawgiver. It comes from the mind of God. Our sense of moral obligation is, as it were, the voice of God within us, the Aboriginal vicar of Christ. It is our conscience. Now, with everything I have said, listen again to words that were written about 3,500 years ago. It's from the last book of the Pentateuch. It's called the Book of Deuteronomy, and the word Deuteronomy means the second law, the second reading of the law. The first one came in the Book of Exodus, and now here is Moses, as he's close to death, And listen what he says to the people about the Aboriginal Vicar of Christ. "Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us, so that we may hear it and observe it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross over to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?' No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart for you to observe." Isn't the Bible beautiful? Do you hear how poetic that language is? That's the word of God, written 3,500 years ago. Lewis was writing in the 1940s, and the Seinfeld writers were writing in 1998. But they're all saying the same thing. What do we do? How do we listen to our conscience? For you see, our conscience is like a traffic light. It wants us to slow down and stop when we are aware that we're taking a course of action that is going to be unhelpful or hurtful. Similarly, our conscience is like the green light that wants us to navigate our lives caringly and purposefully. Now, there's much that could be said about the parable of the Good Samaritan, but all I want to say to you this morning is God Himself, the second person of the Blessed and Holy Trinity, makes it absolutely clear. You and I are to listen to our conscience. And in order to appreciate the story, let me tell you a little bit of geography. Jerusalem is 754 meters above sea level. 754 meters above sea level. Jericho is the lowest city in the world at 258 meters below sea level. What a difference. 754 above, 258 below. And to get from Jerusalem to Jericho, it would take 27 kilometers of walking along a serpentine road that had caves and other places where thieves and bandits could hide. And indeed, at the time when Jesus told this story, the Jericho Road was called the Bloody Pass. The Bloody Pass. Because so many people got mugged and were murdered on that road. Isn't that interesting? So many people who can ignore their conscience that they're willing to mug and kill others. But then into our scene comes three people. The one is a priest, the other is a Levite. Now, the Levites were those men who served the priest at the altar. The priest offered the sacrifice. The Levite served the priest who offered the sacrifice. We could say that these two men are like a Roman Catholic priest and a Roman Catholic deacon. And here's the thing, you would think, not only should they have the moral law, but they have God's written law. And if any men should be attuned to their consciences, it should be the priest and the Levite. But Jesus says no, they didn't listen to their conscience. Even though they were religious, even though they read the Bible all the time, they went by on the other side. Now here's the kicker. Do you know that on this road, the Bloody Pass, that many of the people who were muggers were actually Samaritans? They were the thieves. They were the people attacking Jews as they went from worship in Jerusalem all the way down. Now think about that. We know this because of Josephus, the first century historian, said that it was notorious for Samaritans to attack others. Doesn't that change the story for you? Who's the one with a conscience? Who's the one who's listening to the Aboriginal Vicar of Christ? The Samaritan. The one who's usually a mugger is now the one who shows charity. And that's challenging to us. Because just because we come to Mass, because we're Catholic, it doesn't mean that we listen to our conscience. And indeed, it might be the case that there are many who are outside of the church who are much more attentive in listening to their conscience than some of us. So I want to leave this with you. I want you to meditate upon this. This is important. This really matters. And may I invite you this summer to be attentive in a special way to the voice within as you determine how you spend your time, what you watch online, how you engage in social media, how you interact with others in conversations, and how you notice and care for others. For you see, we've been given a remarkable gift. We've been given the gift of a conscience. But it's the one law that you and I can either obey or disobey. What do you want to do?